Welcome to Remnant Voice Podcast. We hope you enjoyed this episode brought to you by Pastor Jason Armstrong. For more information on this episode and other podcasts, please go to remnantvoice.tv or email info@remnantvoice.tv.
What's up, Remnant Nation? Thanks for tuning in to the Remnant Voice Podcast. I'm your host, Jason Armstrong. Today's episode, we're going to be going into a message called Carrying the Fruit of Responsibility. We love, and I say this, we as the church and as believers, one of the things I've seen, especially in our circles, revival culture, charismatic, however you want to call it, different places we go. When I was traveling full-time out on the road, I was starting to see, you know, I would go back and revisit some of the places I was invited to. They would bring me back in the following year. And you know, I would check and see, you know, and I would ask, and, you know, what was the fruit of the last seat? What was the fruit of when I came, you know, the previous year? Has anything shifted? Has there been transformation? Has there been, you know, what was the fruit? You know, what was done with what was released? That type of thing. And so started looking in some places, you know, man, they held on to, and this is not just for me. This is for anybody that's traveled or any churches and whatnot. I'm just using me as an example here. But I started seeing many people loved receiving the prophetic word, but not many people loved the responsibility to steward it. And so I started looking at this, and I'm just like, man, Lord, what's going on here? And, you know, I get it. You know, we love the excitement. We love the thrill. We love the feels that comes with, you know, receiving certain things. But most of the time, and maybe it's due to lack of teaching, I mean, I don't know, but we're not taught necessarily to, okay, now I've got the prophetic word, what do I do with it? What am I supposed to do with it? Or I've got the revelation, I've got instruction, I've got whatever it is, now what? What do I do with it? And so this message, we go into breaking that down just a little bit. Again, it's called Carrying the Fruit of Responsibility. So enjoy this and be blessed, and I'll be back with you at the end.
See, we can get caught up into a lot of things. Throughout the day, there's all kinds of things we can get caught up in. Come on. There's nothing like being caught up in His presence. See, we can be like John the Revelator and answer the invitation to say, come up higher. I've got some things to show you. See, He's always got things to tell us, always got things to show us. There's no lack of revelation in the kingdom. But I would say there's a lack of responsibility of us going after it. Hallelujah. We'll get into that tonight. Go ahead and make your way back to your seat. Thank you, Lord. Come on. He just loosed those four winds tonight. That means it gets you from every area, north, south, east, west. No matter which direction you're going, there's a wind that He's getting on you and in you. Amen. Tonight, we're going to dive into a little bit of a message here called Carrying the Fruit of Responsibility. Carrying the Fruit of Responsibility. Go with me to the book of James. Book of James, and I believe we'll start in chapter 2. James chapter 2. Go to verse 17. James 2:17. It says, even so faith, if it has no works, it is... It is what?
Dead.
Being by itself. But someone may well say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without the works, and I will show you my faith by my works. Come on. I will show you my faith by my works. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not yet seen. But by my works, because of what I'm believing, I'm manifesting what I believe. You can see the fruit of my faith by way of my works. And so with this, I started thinking about our assignment. Our assignment, you know, and there's personal assignments, there's corporate assignments, there's assignments on cities and regions and territories and all those things. And it's just like, we were teaching in the School of Ministry this past Monday on revelation knowledge and unlocking revelation knowledge and how to go about that. And as we were discussing back and forth, you know, we were talking about how people love to receive revelation. We love to receive revelation. Many people love to receive revelation, but very few actually love the responsibility of stewarding the revelation. See, we love, and listen, I'm wanting to mature you here in this area. We love getting prophetic words, and we should. I love prophetic words. Trust me. I love them. I love receiving them. I love releasing them as the Spirit leads. But the thing is, we can, if we're not careful, we can easily start becoming almost an addictive type nature towards that type of ministry. What happens when I receive a prophetic word? I get edified, exhorted, and comforted. What am I to do after I receive that prophetic word? So we don't hear much of this. What am I supposed to do after I receive that prophetic word? Just be like, thank you, Jesus. I'll see you next week. Thank you, Jesus. That gets me through until the next time. What do we do? Come on, when we receive a prophetic word, we're supposed to take that word, thank him for what he did, have that experience, have that moment, have those things, enjoy the blessing of God when he releases his word to you in that moment. But then, this is where you co-labor with Christ, is now you take that prophetic word that you receive after the worms and fuzzies have already fallen off, and after you've done your thing here in the floor and all that good stuff. Now what do you do with that prophetic word? You don't just set it up on the shelf like a trophy and say, look, that was what the Lord spoke to me last week. What's he going to speak now? No, you take a hold of that word, and then now you have to allow that word to actually penetrate inside the soil of your heart and your spirit so it can start bearing fruit.
That's right.
And that's how we co-labor with him. And then that fruit, according to the law of the seed, guess what? Has the seed inside of itself to bear fruit to another. And now when that becomes your testimony. The testimony of Jesus, spirit of prophecy. And so now, as I'm testifying about what the Lord did for me when I received that prophetic word, there's a grace there for me to witness the power of the testimony of Jesus in my life to somebody else. This is me bearing the responsibility of the prophetic word, not just having a good trophy shelf full of prophetic words. This is not where I was going, but that's where we're going. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3 for just a minute. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And we'll start at verse 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 4. It'll all tie in. He always does. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And we'll start at verse 4. Paul's addressing the Corinthian church here with some divisions that had sprung up among them. Well, actually, let's look at verse 1. That's too good. It says, "And I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual men." That tells you the true heart of an apostolic father is to raise up sons and daughters to not keep you in your infancy or adolescence in the Spirit, but to mature you into men and women of the Spirit. He doesn't want you to stay as babes in Christ. The Lord wants you to mature in him, to grow up in him. It says, "And I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual men, but as to men of flesh, as to babes in Christ." So what's he saying? He's saying there's revelation I have for you, but I can't release it to you really the way I want to speak to you yet, because you've not grown up in these areas yet. Jesus himself said, there's many things I want to share with you, but you cannot what? Bear them right now. What are those things? What's he wanting to say? Maybe, especially with this house, maybe because we've received another level of maturity, he's starting to release certain assignments for us to go after. See, the era we were in has passed, and we grew in that era. We didn't shrink back. And because we matured in that era, we went through a gate of maturity. And the Lord is saying, hey, now that you've went through this gate called maturity, you're still in the process, but I've got another assignment for you. You couldn't have bore this in the past decade. You couldn't have handled this assignment back then. But now that you've matured in me, you've been strengthened in your inner man, now that you know who you are in me, you can handle some of the things of where I'm wanting to take you. Come on. Look at what happened. Thank you, Lord. Look at what happened when Moses, who was God's deliverer from the beginning, he wanted Moses to be the deliverer for his people. Moses was raised in Pharaoh's house, right? But when Moses tried to let me say it this way. When Moses tried to access this revelation of freedom of what his assignment would be prematurely, people died. Right? He ended up having to be in the wilderness for about a 40-year time frame, learning how to be a shepherd out in the desert. He was raised in all the ways of royalty in Pharaoh's house, but and so he had a certain level of maturity, but not necessarily in the things of God. And so when he got the assignment and felt his heart and saw his people that were in bondage and crying out, he tried to release them, but Moses was not ready to be a deliverer, and he accessed things prematurely, and when he did, other Egyptians died. But when he went out and spent some time in the wilderness called process, come on, y'all know me. And all the chapels and stuff, that's all we've been hammering. That's it. And so Moses spent 40 years in the wilderness learning to be a shepherd. And it seemed like a menial task. It seemed like he was hidden and covert. But in that shepherd's field where he was trained to be a shepherd, the Lord was maturing him to be a deliverer. Come on. He was setting him up to be a deliverer for a nation. Hallelujah. So Moses had to mature before he can actually lead the people out, right? So again, as you mature in Christ, as you mature in what the Lord has called you to be, when you understand your identity as sons and daughters, when you understand those things and you're mature in him, you're not easily offended at the things you used to get offended at. Come on. And when you go through that process, it's because the Lord has somebody around you or somebody that you're connected to that he's calling you to be that deliverer for them. See, false humility will keep you from saying yes to the assignment. Good night. False humility, which is just another spectrum of pride.
Yeah, that's false.
You have complete blatant arrogance and pride on one side of the spectrum. You have false humility on the exact opposite side. But the whole spectrum is still pride. False humility will keep you from saying yes to the assignment. Hallelujah. See, false humility robs the people around you of what God is trying to do through you. False humility robs the people around you from what God is trying to do through you. Lame man at the beautiful gate. Been paralyzed there, sitting there. He was receiving alms and he was looking for silver and gold and all those things just to get by. Peter and John came up. What'd they say? Look on. Look on who? Look on, go to Acts 16. Or no, I'm sorry, let's go to the book of Acts. We'll go to Acts 16 in a minute. Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter, John, Acts, there we go. Verse 1, now Peter and John were going up to the temple at the ninth hour, the hour of prayer. And a certain man who had been lame from his mother's womb was being carried along, whom they used to set down every day at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, in order to beg alms of those who were entering the temple. And when he saw Peter and John about to go into the temple, he began asking to receive alms. And Peter, along with John, fixed his gaze upon him and said, look at who?
Us.
False humility will never allow you to say that. Said, look at us. Peter and John, lame men at the beautiful gate. They walked in such a revelation of identity.
Come on.
That they said, look on us. When's the last time you walked around a restaurant or somebody in here or your family member, you said, I see your lameness. I see what's going on there. Look at me. I'm carrying something that can cure what you're sitting in. Come on. Well, that's awful prideful. It's confidence. It's confidence in Christ because I have a living relationship with him. I'm abiding in him. He's abiding in me. I know where he is. I'm not confused about it. I know that he's not dwelling in that temple. I know he's in my temple. And I can, and with that, I can have a holy boldness that says, look here. Come on. Look here. I'm telling you, I believe the Lord's putting that language back in his people.
Yes, sir.
And saying, yeah. See, we've settled. I'm not against silver and gold. But we've settled for the lesser reality of that.
That's right.
You see, later, people were bringing money to the apostles' feet for apostolic distribution. So it's not about that. It's about knowing what you actually carry and having the authority to release it. You can't release what you don't have.
That's right.
Could it be that the church has failed to say, look at us, because we're actually vacant on the inside?
Come on.
We'll say, look at my denomination. They had some good works in the past. We'll say, look at my apostle. Look at my revivalist. Look at all these things, but we won't take actual ownership of it. We'll live vicariously through somebody else instead of taking ownership of what Holy Spirit has done in our life. He paid a high price to get his Spirit in you.
And we know the rest of the story. He said, look on us. And he took his hand and pulled him up. And the man was lame from his mother's womb. That means there would have been crazy amounts of atrophy, poor bone quality, poor bone density, all these things. Yet in a moment of somebody that had a holy boldness, knowing who they were in Christ and the power that was within them, was able to look at a paralyzed situation at the gate called Beautiful and said, look on us, and extended his hand, pulled him up out of his paralysis of religion and tradition, and said, get into the apostolic, get into the kingdom, and then here, you're going to move out of the gates of what was beautiful in the past season, but God's doing something different in this new era, and it's time for you to get up out of your paralysis. I'm going to empower you to actually run and leap in this new era. Talking about dry bones coming alive. There's another picture of it there. Come on. And the supernatural power of God came. And this man that had his legs atrophied and all that went leaping and jumping, bearing weight. Oh, hallelujah. Where are we at, Lord? Go to Proverbs 14, verse 23. You can just write it down, actually. I'm just going to touch it for a second. Proverbs 14, 23. It says, in all labor there is profit, but mere talk only leads to poverty. In all labor there is profit, but mere talk only leads to poverty. Could it be that we've been rich in talk and bankrupt in demonstration? We've talked about it, but we've not actually taken on the responsibility to labor and see it come through. Well, I can't wait for that move of God that's way out here. Revival's coming. Are you kidding me? Where's Holy Spirit living? Come on. He's not just renting a space in you. I hope not. Come on. Where's he living? Inside of you. So if Holy Spirit, the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, lives inside you, what are you waiting on revival for? He's inside, out of your belly, not his. We've put that off like the Pharisees and the Sadducees. The Sadducees didn't believe there was a resurrection, but we've put that off like the resurrection is a later time, or revival is a later time. No, if you have Holy Spirit in you, you have the Spirit of revival in you.
Amen.
Out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. The problem is you're not saying, look on me. You've not cultivated that relationship with Jesus where people can see him through you, and you don't know who you carry, and false humility will keep you from actually telling people what you're carrying. See, we've let religion, tradition, and false humility keep a dam up over the river. Now, the river has banks, and that's his word. That's how things can flow without actually just flooding everything. Go to, let's stay in Proverbs for a second. I'm talking about laboring here and co-laboring. Talking about faith and works. He said, I'll show you my faith by my works. So what you're demonstrating tells me what you believe. What you're actively pursuing tells me where your belief is. Proverbs 22. Proverbs 22. And verse 29. There's one little statement there. 28 is really great, but 29 it says, do you see a man skilled in his work? He will stand before kings. He will not stand before obscure men. Do you see a man skilled in his work? He will stand before kings. I would submit to you he'd even probably become king. Look at David. How did he play on the harp? Scripture tells you exactly how he played. He didn't play haphazardly. He played skillfully. Skillfully. He stewarded the harp well. Because he was able to steward the harp well, he stewarded the staff well and stewarded his father's sheep. Because he stewarded the staff well, the Lord's saying, man, that's the guy that takes ownership of what I've given him. He's been faithful in the small things. He's been faithful in the secret things. He was good with the harp. He was good with the staff. Then you know what? He's going to be great with the scepter. Hallelujah. Some of you right now, you're holding the harp, but there's a scepter waiting on you. But it's called process of maturity.
Yes.
Don't forfeit it. Don't pick up something else that you're not meant to carry. If he's put a harp in your hand, if he's put an instrument in, whatever he's put in your hand, be skillful at it. Come on. He's put the word in your hand. Be skillful at the word. See, if you can't rightly divide the word, you'll wrongly divide the body. If you can't rightly divide the word, you'll wrongly divide the body. And so we've got to be skillful in every good work. We are his workmanship, right? Created in Christ, created in his image, created in all those things, what? For his work. We're carrying on his legacy. Come on. See, you don't see a man skilled in his work, he'll stand before kings. See, some of you, if you can just be faithful in obscurity, faithful in hiddenness, he's posturing you and positioning you for a platform before kings. What's that mean? That means somebody's watching you right now. That means somebody's watching how you steward what's in your hand right now. You may not be aware. Matter of fact, I'm guaranteed you're probably not aware of it. But you're being watched to see, are they being faithful? You don't know what king is in your life right now looking for you to be found faithful so that they can release what's in their treasury over you. Well, man, I know this guy that's got a construction business. I know that he's been faithful in secret. I know that he's done every job that's been applied to him. I know that he's went out of his way on certain things. When he was asked to go 1 mile, he went 2. When he had 2 coats and I was naked, he gave me another one. And he didn't even have to put it on Facebook. He just sit there and he was seeking the reward from heaven. And so he's been faithful in the secret things. And the Lord's saying, okay. He's ready. Yeah. He's ready. And the next thing you know, it seems like it came out of nowhere, and all of a sudden you're standing before a king that's ready to just release things into you and get you into your position. To get you into the destiny that's already been set for you. Hallelujah. You mean God's in those type of details? You better believe it. Let me just, quick little story. Years ago, 2008 or so, I'd moved to Cleveland, Tennessee, and ended up working with a minister. We didn't move down there to work with a minister. We just moved because the Lord said to move. And in the midst of that, not really knowing anybody down there, except for maybe one or two people, we were just being obedient to the instruction. And whatever was put in my path, whatever, I believe that His word was a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path, and He is illuminating certain things. And so when I would step in, I'm like, man, I don't really necessarily fit, but I said yes to it. I said yes to it. I'm like, Lord, I know in my knower, You've called me to preach. I know in my knower that I've seen in dreams, I've seen in visions, I've seen these things, and I've got journal entries to show You my history with Him, saying that I would be doing what I'm doing right now. However, I didn't start in this position. When I said yes to the call, I didn't know that was going to lead me to behind a camera for somebody else's ministry. Uh-huh. What? Yeah. Camera. But Lord, I don't want to be behind the camera. Come on, that cameraman about to fall out right here. I don't want to be behind the camera. You know why? Because I miss out on what's happening. It's true. I'm telling you the truth. I was working for a pretty well-known minister at the time. And it's like, man, I want to be right there around those revelation nuggets that's being released. Not those chicken nuggets down the road. If you were here Sunday, you'll get that. But you know what I did? I postured my heart in the pursuit of whatever the Lord had for me. If it was scrubbing toilets, I was going to do it to the best of my ability. And believe me, I had to do some. Let me just tell you this one. You'll never outgrow the chair ministry. Never. You will always be stacking chairs, moving chairs. That... You're never going to outgrow the chair ministry. That's just a thing until Jesus comes back, I'm pretty sure. So, I was thinking, well, no, man, nope, you're moving chairs. So that's going to happen a lot of times. But I started there behind the camera, behind the scenes, when everybody else, my peers even, and even leaders on my, that I was supposed to be in part of this leadership group at this time, you know, they were up there getting to be around everybody else. They were up there getting to be around the man of God. They were getting around, but I was serving the man of God. Little did I know that what I was learning on that camera back there was going to posture me and get me into position where I would have my own TV show. I was faithful stewarding that small camera and being faithful and diligent to somebody else's vision as if it was my own. Why? Not because just that man was so awesome and all that. No, because I recognized the God in the man and I recognized God's hand on it. And I said, whatever the Lord is moving on, I'm going to get behind and I'm going to serve it with my whole heart. And when I did that, I was faithful to those things. 8 years. 8 years serving. You never stop serving. but there's things that get built up on. And so, as faithful stewarding behind the camera, 6 years later, 7 years later, I was in front of the camera. On a regional network. All those times. Could the Lord still have brought that around? Possibly he can do all things. But what would have happened if I not had submitted to process? If I wasn't, if I didn't grab hold of the responsibility that, hey, I know that somebody's going to get touched by watching what's going to be released by this minister speaking here. I know somebody that'll watch this DVD down the road and somebody that's going to be in their homes that'll, maybe somebody even overseas will get to see this DVD and come into the kingdom. And so I better point this camera with the right heart and the right motive and let, Lord, let me capture everything that you're releasing. It's not just camera ministry. It's not just ushering. It's not just altar team. There's a weightier responsibility when you understand what we're stewarding here.
Hey guys, welcome back to the message here. We'll get back to part two. Next week. This was just part one of carrying the responsibility. We'll be broadcasting part two next week. I'm telling you, there's a lot of good practical revelation, practical tips, practical understanding of what to do when we receive revelation. We've got to become stewards of revelation. And anytime we've got access to fruit, it's not just for the fruit. It's to cultivate the whole land. Again, like when Joshua and Caleb came back carrying the fruit of the land, the Lord said, I've given you a good land, you know, a land of milk and honey, a land that's filled with the pomegranates and fruit, you know. They came back, you know, the 10 spies, 10 of them had an evil report. The two had the good report. And the fruit was just the invitation. Many of us, you know, like I said earlier, many of us just stopped there at the fruit. But the fruit is the invitation to own the land so we can start reproducing. And again, that involves work. That involves, you know, walking things out and working things out. So, again, thank you guys for listening to this podcast. We got some exciting news coming up. I'm just waiting for the right timing to be able to release it. And so it's coming down the road. So be sure to keep tuning in each week for the announcement. Also, check us out on social media. We're on all the different platforms. The handle on Instagram is @RemnantVoiceTV. Same thing on Facebook. It'll be @RemnantVoiceTV on Facebook as well. So again, thanks for checking out the podcast. We'll continue with part two of carrying the responsibility next week. Until then, guys, know that the Lord always has a remnant and that remnant has a voice.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. For more episodes and ways to partner with us, please go to remnantvoice.tv or email info@remnantvoice.tv. Please join us again soon for another exciting message from Pastor Jason Armstrong.